This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Nate and the Noise.
32 after, Nate Lundy, Sean Drotar, SB Nation Radio. Thanks for waking up with us on this Monday, looking back at the Super Bowl last night. The Patriots win in overtime. To look at it from the Atlanta perspective, from the Falcoholic.com, part of SB Nation, covering the Falcons, Kyle McClendon joins us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm making it. I'm here.
How you doing? Got it. Doing good. Kyle, when you look at this game, everybody wants to point fingers. Everybody's got to have somebody to blame. We know that it's never really one thing, but if you had to try to zero in on who's to blame for the loss, who do you point your finger at?
I think if you look at the main part of the game, the main reason the Falcons really kind of lost it late was the Patriots ran over 90 offensive plays. Anytime you do that, your defense is going to give out, and that you could see just in the last two drives the Patriots had, not even including the overtime drive, the Falcons defense was gassed from being on the field for so long. So in terms of that, I would say maybe it's play calling, but I think we had some lapses in pass protection where either Alex Mack was getting beat or Devontae Freeman missed a block, or Matt Ryan holding on to the ball too long. There's a lot of places where you can say one or two plays really hurt it, but I would say just letting the defense be on the field for that long really did the Falcons in, I think.
Kyle Shanahan's been getting a lot of heat. Nate and I actually have sort of defended it, even though the play calling at times was questionable, because this is just what the Falcons have been as an aggressive team. But given your point, would you have liked to have seen the Falcons run the ball more in the second half?
I think it's tough to say that they shouldn't have been aggressive, because like you guys said, that's basically what got them there. That's who they've been, and it's worked. But when you get the ball on the other team's 22 with 4 minutes and 40 seconds left and a chance to kick a field goal to basically put the Super Bowl away. I don't even know if you have to run it three times, but you got to be more careful with the ball, whether it's doing a three-step drop instead of a five or not going shotgun or whatever it is. You just got to make sure you walk away from that drive with points. I would have ran the ball there more. They only ran it five times, I think, after they went up 28-3 or whatever it was, and that really hurt them, I think, because it hurt the defense. So I would say, yeah, they probably should have ran it just a little bit more.
Kyle, when you look at this game and you see the Falcons obviously with the loss, you know that last year the Panthers lost and then didn't even make it back to the playoffs the following year. So what positives do you take from this to be able to say that that's not going to happen to Atlanta the way that it happened to Carolina?
I think just look at the defense. Like that's one of the biggest takeaways for me was, yeah, they got worn out down the stretch, but for three quarters they were harassing Tom Brady and they were playing in a way that nobody really even saw, even from our side, really saw coming. They were on top of every aspect of the Patriots offense, and they were tackling well and forcing turnovers. And I think that you have three or four rookies, and then you have a whole lot of second-year guys that played major roles in your defense, and that's a huge positive to look forward to, I think.
Yeah, I think that part is exciting when you look at especially the youth in that secondary that, for the most part, up until late, really did hold up until the fourth quarter when you pointed out, look, the Patriots ran 99 offensive snaps. So looking at this team now, obviously there's an extraordinary disappointment in Atlanta when you lose this kind of game. I mean, the argument about maybe the overtime situation being changed, but in your perspective, would it have mattered that much because of the way Atlanta was fatigued?
I don't think it would have. I think when you look at the way the game was going, if you can't stop them on one of the four drives where they put up 31 unanswered points, and you probably won't be able to stop them on one last drive in overtime, especially when you're more gassed. So I think giving the MVP a chance to score points as well is a good idea, but that's not the reason they lost. They lost because the defense was on the field for 99 plays. And I don't think changing the overtime rules would have really done much for them in that case.
Take over for the 49ers. What kind of offensive coordinator or what names are being bandied about there in Atlanta that could replace him as the offensive coordinator for Matt Ryan in that offense?
initially, a lot of the names that you heard were just in-house names like Mike McDaniels or Matt LaFleur. But now it seems like McDaniels might go with Shanahan, and then LaFleur is actually being talked about for the Rams offensive coordinator job. So if all those internal candidates kind of go away, then there's one potential candidate, which is Raheem Morris, but this is only his first year as an offensive assistant, so that would be an interesting decision. But then another name that's really catching traction, much to the disdain of some Atlanta fans, is Chip Kelly. The contingency was that he keeps the system, but that's still getting a guy where he hasn't had a ton of success and where his offense doesn't really help the defense out that much because they're either scoring points really quickly or they're going three and out really quickly. That's a name that a lot of Falcons fans are a little hesitant to embrace at this point.
Run as far away from Chip Kelly as you possibly can, Kyle. Do not, I'm telling you, no. Any Atlanta Falcons fans that are going back and listening to this interview, like after the fact on our podcast or whatever, no. Sign a petition, start to protest outside the new stadium, do whatever you have to do to keep Chip Kelly as far away from your team as humanly possible. Kyle McClendon with us from thefalcoholic.com. He's on Twitter at Kyle W. McClendon. Kyle, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Yep.
39 after. Kyle with us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click to find out how much you could save. Seriously, Atlanta? No. No. No,
just let Matt Ryan call everything or
not
grab a fan from the stands or whatever.
No, not just no, but hell no. No. Do not let Chip Kelly ruin what has been built into an amazing offense on that team. Don't you dare.
I love the point he made specifically about the fact that, yeah, it would have been great for the NFL to get to see the MVP out on the field one more time, a chance to try it out. With the loss, Matt Ryan becomes the 8th consecutive NFL MVP to play in a Super Bowl and lose.
It's also now 12 of the last 13 Super Bowls where whichever team wore the white jersey won.
That has nothing to do with it at all. Just nothing.
12 out of 13. I'm telling you. Trend. That's not just a trend. That's a damn game changer right there.
How many times is it? Correlation is not causation, Nate.
Don't start with me with your big words. 12 out of 13, dude. That's pretty amazing.
But you know what? Right there, really boiled it down because the idea of choke or whatever. In the end, I thought what he mentioned was it. The end of you want to look at what changed this game. You want to say Brady, whatever. The Falcons defense was on the field for 99 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
That, more than any other factor, was the ballgame.
That's why I have a problem with all the different choke talk. I'm sorry. I think that's low-hanging, lazy fruit to make that argument. Because everybody wants to talk about first and 10 from the 22. I can go find you no less than a half dozen other scenarios where a problem happened. And guess what? If Julian Edelman doesn't go David Tyree on right. that catch, we're not having this discussion right now. We're not having this discussion. We're congratulating Atlanta for finally getting a football championship.
You might not be having that discussion if Julio Jones doesn't make that spectacular play on the sideline to even fall into the play-calling bugaboos.
Look, I'm telling you, even David Tyree had to look at that catch and go, whoa, that was impressive. It could have been picked. There were three dudes there. It bounces off the side of his leg.
Sometimes you get a little lucky.
And Edelman manages to grab it and keep it about an inch and a half off the ground.
That's part of the game, too.
That's just part of the game.
Sometimes luck factors in.
Like, just whatever. Like, okay. Get over your choke conversation. It's lazy. Don't do it as a fan. And sure as heck, don't do it in the media. Don't be lazy. 42 after SB Nation Radio.